Everyone lift your hands to the Lord with me this morning. And we just ask you, Lord, to come and minister to us by your Holy Spirit. We open ourselves to receive of the presence of the Lord. Let the word of God, Lord, be sharper than any two-edged sword. Let it divide to the very joint and the very marrow, the very entrance of our heart. Let it be, Lord, that it creates in us the purpose and the plan of God that reveals through us the nature of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord is good. We're coming to the time that the revelation of the Lord is so pronounced and so real that literally I think we're on the cusp of the times of the Lord will be speaking in the midst of us in such a clarity and such anointing that it will bring such separation in us between the things that we were and the things that were to be. And this morning I want to look at the cross a little bit and maybe the way that you want to look at it, because we're not going to look at it in the fact that it's the cross that we bear, but it's the cross that he bore. Amen? So look in Romans chapter 6, and let's just read some scripture, then I'm going to get right into this morning, and see if I can break the record. Amen. Romans chapter 6. We look in verse 4, it says, "Therefore we're buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Everybody say, we shall also live with him. Amen. You know, as we get into this place of talking about identification, we understand that it's more than just looking unto someone else, but it's actually so united with him in likeness that we become identical with him. And this is the real separation between what we know as religion versus what we know as being spiritual. Did you know that God called you to be a spiritual being? Now, we live in a soul, we walk in a body, but the primary function of the Christian is to be led by the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that gives life. Everybody say, the Spirit gives life. So I really want to partake of that life. I want to partake of the nature of God. And the only way I can really partake of that nature is by knowing him in the Spirit. You know, Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, if you're going to worship me, you must worship me in spirit and in truth." So when I hear that, it means that I can't let my mind or my flesh rule the direction of my life. I have to be willing to come to the place that I allow the Spirit of God to be the one that instructs me, teaches me, but also leads me. For if you're led by the Spirit, you are the sons of God. Amen. Everybody say, I'm led by the Spirit. I am the Son of God. Now, when we look at the cross in the book of Romans chapter 6, you know, Romans 6, 7, and 8 are just phenomenal when you get into the depth of studying them, because it really aligns us into the place that causes us to receive from God what we're supposed to receive, but also to become in God what we're supposed to become. So when we look at Jesus on the cross, we see so much transpiring in that act of sacrifice that he made for us, because the cross literally became the doorway into the realm of spirit. The cross literally delivered humanity out of its bondage, out of its restrictions and limitations, and brings it into a whole new level a relationship to the Lord. Everybody say, the cross is a pathway into life. And so when Paul's speaking us to us here in the book of Romans chapter 6, it says that we're buried with him through baptism unto death, just as Christ was raised from dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we are united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. So when you look at the cross, you see on the other side of the cross is really the goal. That's really the objective of what we were trying to become. The cross was never to become the final resting place for Christ. The cross was simply the pathway that God used Christ to bring Christ into his fullness, into his glory, but also to bring you into that same place. If you're united with Christ, then you become a partaker of the things that Christ partook of. So my goal is not to establish an identity separate from him, but to be so united with him in every aspect of his work and so identified with him that I'm literally so tied in spirit with Christ that the same thing that worked in him can also work within me. Isn't it neat that you don't have to reinvent the wheel? Aren't you glad that they're not going to come drag you out of your home tomorrow morning and make you carry a cross down your street to a vacant lot and put it in the ground and nail you to it? Are you glad of that? Yeah. Amen. Why? Because Christ took that price for you. He took that journey for you. And so when we look to the Lord to see that there's this great passage from death to life, when we unite with him, we understand that Christ's death on the cross accomplished two main things. First of all, because of that sacrifice and the blood that was shed, it gave you the forgiveness of sins. Are you happy about that? When Christ died, he forgave you. He took all and transferred all of your iniquity to himself. He became sin on our behalf. Man that knew no sin became sin, so that you no longer would have to be bound by the penalty and the judgment of that sin. Because through Christ now you've been forgiven. Amen? But also, when he died on the cross, he enabled you to no longer be obliged nor controlled by your flesh or your soul. It's only through that identification of Christ opening the door to heaven for you. Because see, when Christ died, it opened everything from heaven to humanity. Everything that was entrusted in the Father's realm became a part of your realm today through the cross. So not only am I not dead-ending at the cross, I'm simply going to the cross with Christ so that everything that's in the Father can be a part of who I am. Because now, where's Christ today? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The Lord lifted him up, not only brought him through the grave, resurrected him through the grave, but he ascended unto the Father's right hand. It's the same pattern and process that God takes you through. Because the work of the cross enables you to follow the same pathway that Christ took to the fulfillment of relationship with the Father. After all, everything that's happening in our life is bringing us forth into this place of completion and transformation. I can honestly say in my heart, and I feel like you can too, that we're different than we were just a short time ago. I hope you can say that, because you should be. Because this constant unfolding of God's glory to mankind, when we identify with this sacrifice that Christ made and we become united with him in that death in that burial, we also become united with him in that resurrection. And we literally fulfill what is said, 2 Corinthians, that we're going from glory to glory and from image to image. Amen. There's more of him in me. There's more of his presence, more of the reality of who he is in my consciousness today than there was just a short time ago. Amen. And none of that has one thing to do with how good I am. None of it's based upon how righteous I've become in myself, because there is no righteousness within me. None of it's based upon my education or my social endeavors. It's all based upon what Christ did on the cross. The fulfillment, he said, today it is finished. Everything that is in me can now be in you. Amen. Is that completion that takes place through that sacrifice. So only through a person's spiritual renewal, you see what happens when we accept Christ, we become born again. And it says that unless a man is born again, or unless a man receives the Spirit, he cannot see nor even can he enter the kingdom of God. So the moment that transformation takes place within you and you have the Spirit of Christ, now that you have access to begin to see and understand the kingdom of God. All of a sudden you begin to move out of the seen realm into the unseen realm. You begin to move out of the qualities of the flesh and begin to move into the attributes of the Spirit. You begin to move out of this thing where you see with your natural eye, judge with your natural mind, evaluate with your own reason, and now you become a Spirit-led being that becomes aware of the kingdom of God in the midst of you. Hallelujah. I love that. How many say you love it?
I love it.
Amen. Because Christ's sacrifice, his crucifixion, did it all. Everybody say, he did it all. He made complete access available to the Father. Now you can come before the Father yourself and say, Abba, Father. You have such intimate relationship with the Father that you no longer feel estranged from his table. You no longer feel condemned or put off because of your own failure, because now all you feel is the love and the acceptance that he's made provision for your life. Amen?
Yes.
See, the reality is that our flesh is crucified. Everybody say, we are crucified. So what's the reality? The things you're experiencing today, the setbacks, the fears, the frustration, the futility, is that reality? Or is the reality what Christ did? See, your walk with God is never based upon your experience. It's based upon the knowledge of who he is. It doesn't make any difference if it's a good day or a bad day for you, a lousy day or a wonderful day. It doesn't make any difference if you've messed up or you fouled up. The only thing that makes a difference, do you know and are you united with him in what he did for you? Because everything that you are not, he is. He is greater than any of your mistakes or any of your failures. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? The reality is that as we respond to God's word by faith, as we come before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, by faith, we know you did everything for us. That moment then begins to change the experiences that we have, the responses that we come forth out of us, because now we're united with him. Woo. Remember what he said in Galatians 2:20. How many know that one by heart? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer now I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, our identification with the Lord on the cross comes about because we first believe by faith, but then it says that this thing begins to work in us by the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is given to you to bring you into this place of relationship with him. And it's only by the Spirit that you can begin to fulfill the will of God. The law of God cannot be fulfilled. The will of God cannot be fulfilled because you choose it. It happens because God chose you. And by His Spirit, then He enables you to become conformed into His image. Because when you believe, you begin to rely simply on what Christ did. The Word becomes greater than your flesh. Everything that Christ did trumps the things that you don't do. We are brought forth in that experience because of the fact that God has spoken it to us and He's created in us. Amen? In Romans chapter 7, it says, verse 4, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to Him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin, which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Romans chapter 8, it says, "Therefore, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according, not according to the flesh, but those that walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." For what the law could not do, that it was weak. Everybody say, the law was weak. Say, the flesh is weak. God did it by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but those who walk according to the Spirit. But for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set themselves upon the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. When you read the book of Romans chapter 8, we see this glorious freedom that comes from knowing the Lord in the Spirit. And in my heart, in my focus, I just find this continual pressing in to know Him in the Spirit. And sometimes some people think I'm a little weird, because how many have ever thought you were a little weird? And you all know that I'm a little weird, right? Because I just keep letting my default be the default that says I've got to know the Lord in the Spirit. And it's not some difficult process. It's simply letting the work of the cross be the same thing to me that it was to Him. Knowing that if I'll embrace that work, if I'll engage that work, if I'll believe that work of the cross, if I unite myself with Him in all that He is, that same Spirit that's in Christ will be also revealed in me. That same heart that God put in Him, the Father put in Him, will also be in my heart, my spirit. The same mouth that God used Him to speak the words of life to a dying generation, that same word will be within me. If I can just unite with Him, if I can marry Him. Because in that marriage union of my spirit to spirit, fruit begins to be manifested. Then I don't have to worry about the things of the flesh. You see, the Scripture says the only way we can put to death the deeds of the flesh is by the Spirit. You can't put to death the deeds of the flesh because of your self-will. You may suppress the deeds of the flesh, You may hinder the deeds of the flesh for a season, but it's amazing how the sin works. When you push one sin down by human effort or human flesh, another sin will pop up. Kind of like when you try to de-weed your yard, right? You chop one weed down, lo and behold, the next week there's more weeds than there was. Until you're overwhelmed with weeds and you're frustrated. And so you've got to go to the Spirit and buy poison and spray the whole yard. That's how the Spirit works. Because when the Spirit of God comes, the Spirit of God can put to death the deeds of the flesh, because we're not after the fruits of the flesh, we're after the very flesh itself. And when that flesh comes to identification with Christ, we can start saying, that flesh that I live in is dead now. It no longer has dominion over me. I will no longer submit to it or succumb to it. You see, the very mark of immaturity is this struggle we have in trying to overcome the flesh. Because once we've become one with Christ, the flesh is overcome by him. The deeds of the flesh are dead. Have you ever found in your own life, when you keep working on the deeds, you just keep going around the merry-go-round? Just the minute you thought you had it conquered, it rears its ugly head. Just the moment you thought that anger was taken out of you, it only takes one road rage incident to ignite it again. Just about the time you thought forgiveness had really worked in you, it only takes one serious offense against you to ignite that unforgiveness. How many have been there, done that? Just when you thought you've obtained this place of perfection, only to find a new crop of weeds grew up overnight. That's simply because we're relying too much upon how we can discipline ourselves out of those natures. It says in Colossians that we're to put to death these deeds of the flesh by the Spirit of God. Amen? So every time I'm faced with sin, I don't try to overcome sin. I try to unite with Christ. Then sin has no dominion over my unity with him. Sin has no power over the anointing that God puts within me. Now I have become an overcomer in the Lord. Thanks be to God. Because it's like that fill up process. When I fill myself up with him, everything else is dispelled away from me. I don't have to work on my temper, my unforgiveness, my lust, my greed, my pride. I don't have to work on those things individually like some project. It's simply I turn to the Lord and I see what Christ did for me, how he completed me on that cross. Now it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished in me. At my weakest points in my life, and believe me, I could write a book called The Weakest Points. How many would know that would be a bestseller? No. We need to write a book, The Strongest Point. At my weakest point in life, the Lord keeps assuring me that everything that's done in my flesh and done with my purpose and done with my plan will all come to naught. But he said, the things that I create in you will be a house, will be a rock that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Every time I find myself exposed and naked, there's a show called that, right? What is it called? Naked and Afraid. Now, see, you may be some voyeur tuning into that to see what you can see, but they don't let you see anything. I already checked. Check it out. Naked and afraid. But that's kind of defines us in our flesh. We're naked and afraid. It's like the scripture says, we're crying after this tent that comes from heaven to be clothed from above. We don't dig this out of the earth. It all comes down from the Lord. We don't create it out of mud and clay, brick and mortar. But this cry that says, Lord, let there be a tabernacle that comes from heaven to clothe us with your presence. This becomes our victory, our strength. Lord, I place all my weakness, all my sin, all my disobedience. I take all of that, Lord, and I bring it to you for this great transference program so that all these things that I am, you can give me your strength, your forgiveness, your wisdom, your peace, your righteousness, your joy, your resolve. All these things that come from heaven, let them come to me, Lord, because of what you did on the cross. And that cross literally opened up a beam right into the throne of God. And the only thing that can stop that is our own unwillingness to accept it and our lack of desire to seek it, because it's all there. All things that pertain to life and to godliness are there for us. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. It was a strange week for me because I went through a week with such peace. Sometimes you have to define your weeks by what you're going through. Believe me, all my weeks aren't that way. But this was a week that was so nice because I had such peace. I think I just preached all the honorness out of myself last week. I just blew up all those barricades that was keeping him from ministering to me. I just became aggressive in my faith to where all of a sudden I had access into peace. Wow. If you don't know what it means for me to have peace, it's a major project. The peace of God that passeth all understanding comes through this cross. The most horrific day in the history of humanity to see the perfect righteous Son of God hang on a cross and die. This man that knew no sin. The most horrible event in the history of humanity took place when a living God died. Yet it became the greatest day of peace that ever was displayed to humanity. Because the Prince of Peace himself opened heaven's door to bring peace to the earth. Peace I give you, saith the Lord. Joy I give you, unspeakable and full of glory I give you because of the cross. The most tragic, horrible event became the most glorious day for all of us that believe. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is put faith in him. Nicodemus, will you believe? Yes. Then let this happen to you. Let the Spirit come into you also. Transform your heart. Will you believe? Will you trust me? Will you open your heart once again out of this place of confusion that you may have fell into? Some of you, and believe me, I'm part of the crowd, how often I fell back into the pit of unbelief. Because see, the flesh is simply lurking there waiting to resurrect itself. The old man doesn't go easily. The old man in you wants to live. It wants to thrive. It wants to prosper. It wants to do its own thing. It's just waiting for its opportunity. It's waiting for someone to drop their guard and say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Here it comes again. But when there's an aggressive faith in your heart, it said that those that pursue the Lord, those that have faith in God, it pleases the Lord because God gives you a continual flow of his nature and his quality to your spirit through your faith. Faith is an access, creates, keeps the door open to the access to the kingdom. I don't want any closed doors. I want the door to be open. I want the spigot to be loosed. I want the water to flow from the throne of God. I want the river of God to keep flowing into my spirit. I don't want to revert back to that thing that I was or that thing that I could have been, but I want to become that which God has called me to be. Hallelujah. Because of the heart that I have in my spirit. Put everything on the cross with him. Next time you go through something, just say, okay, here it is. Here, take it on the cross, Lord. Your cross did it for me. It's finished. Here it is, Lord. I'm putting it on the cross. Next time that anger comes out, just say, Lord, here, you seal that. Here, it's yours. I don't want it anymore. I want what you give. Hallelujah. That's why that cross was there. Don't put that cross to put it lightly. Don't put it lightly that what Christ did, he took all of your sins, all of them, the most vile, wicked sin that man could ever come up with. Christ took that to himself on the cross. He became sin on our behalf that no longer should we have to bear the mark of that sin, the condemnation of that sin, the result of that sin, because the righteousness of God is imputed to us from heaven. Hallelujah. Put it on the cross. When it rears its ugly head up in your life. Whew. Wow. Man, this will set you free. How many want to be set free? Well, the Spirit of God has come to set you free. Amen. Verse 26 of chapter 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for, we ought, but the Spirit himself will make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you know that the Lord is occupied 24/7 making intercession for you? What is he praying? Lord, let them trust what I did. Lord, let them see how it works. Let them know that they don't have to live under this burden any longer. Amen. They can live into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. The glorious liberty of the sons of God. And we know that all things work together for them, for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called. Whom he called, those he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. Hallelujah. What shall we say then to these things? Verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
If God is for us, then who can be against us? Is your experience greater than that? Is your disobedience greater than that? Is your sin greater than that? If God is for you, how can sin reign in your mortal body any longer?
Come on.
Oh, you're expecting me to be perfect? No. I'm expecting you to see the perfect one.
Yes.
You can't be perfect, but there's a perfect one. Somehow, by this mystical union of your spirit being married to him, he creates that perfection in you. Somehow, by this union that's taken place because you opened your heart to let him in, somehow that spirit that's within you will give you victory. Victory over every aspect of weakness in your life. It's out of your weakness that his strength is perfected. The Lord is just going crazy looking for people that'll acknowledge this. For someone to say, oh my God, woo, man, I'm a foul up. But man, look at you, Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Someone, the Lord's just looking for people like that. He's not looking for self-righteous people. The biggest challenge he had was the self-righteous people. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people. Quit being so stinking religious and just start being honest with God. And let him express that to you, that he wants to be to you everything that you need. Come unto you, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Come all you that sin. Come all you that have failed. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he wants to give to you what he has. I'm about to quit because I'm almost at my, I'm not going to break the record. I see that now, but I'm not going to exceed it either too far. He, verse 30, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Because it's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? So when you're out there naked and afraid, remember this, there is no separation. He's there for you. Amen. He's always saying to you, like he said to Adam, where are you? Mickey, where are you? Say, I'm here, Lord. Here I am. Amen. When they hid them, they hid themselves from the Lord. It wasn't the fact that God chose to cut them off. They chose themselves to cut themselves off because of their own shame. But no matter what your shame is, the Lord doesn't cut you off. He receives you just the way you are. I'm glad that God received me just the way I am. You know, 49 years ago when I accepted the Lord, he's never once turned his back on me. Can't tell you how many times I've turned my back on him. How many times I've hid my nakedness because of my shame. And when I've done that, all of a sudden I've been aware that he's no longer speaking with me. And then I've oftentimes in that, I'll say, oh God, where are you? Why did you quit speaking to me? He said, I didn't. You'd quit speaking to me. Right. Well, Lord, why? Because I quit seeing there was a cross that he bore for me, that if I could have just placed myself upon him, he would have taken it from me and given me this life, this peace, this joy, this righteousness. I don't want to spend one day anymore in my life. My life is older now, and I don't know how many days I have left, but I don't want to spend one more day of it apart from his presence. I don't want to go through the folly of my youth again where I just vacillated here and there. I want to just say, Lord, this day, from this day forth, I'm locked in to enjoy your courts for as long as I live, because I know that there's even more to enjoy after this life. Amen? Wow. Whew. I got to quit. I'm quitting. I just read this scripture. Who condemns? Christ died, furthermore is risen. Verse 35, who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Wow, it's good.
Yeah.
Woo. Wow.